As we look at stewardship, you know, what is it? You know, we tend to think of stewardship as take out your wallet and put 10% into the plate. And yeah, that's an aspect of stewardship, but it's certainly not it entirely by any means. Stewardship is first understanding that what our position is with God. And that is, He owns everything and we work for Him. So that which I have because He has put it in my hand, not for my personal use alone, but ultimately for His ultimate benefit, for His purposes. So God gives me the very breath I have, not just so that I can breathe and do what I want to do, but so that I can do what it is He wants me to do. And what is it He wants me to do? He wants me to be a pastor. Okay, He called me to be a pastor, so it's His fault. Don't blame me, blame Him. He's the one who chose. But to be a good steward, then, I need to be the best pastor I can be. I have to care for the resources that He gives me, which includes my body, which is one of the reasons why I lost some weight recently. I'm going to try to lose some more weight, get a little bit better shape. I'm trying to be healthy and take care of myself. I'm taking care of my home. Why? Because so it lasts longer. Take care of this home. We've fixed things up around here. We clean it up. Why? To show respect and keep it looking nice. Okay, stewardship, so it reflects well on God. When somebody comes here and say, oh, this is really a lousy, dirty, dank, not very nice place. No, we want people to feel welcome and say, oh, I can see God here in some way. Usually the best way that they meet is through people. And as we live our lives, for good stewards, we will be good witnesses. Because the next thing is, what does stewardship and witness have in common? So if stewardship is taking care of those things which God has given me to God's best advantage, then what is witnessing? Witnessing is no less than testifying about something. In particular, Christian circles, when we say witness, we're talking about testifying about God. And do I have a good testimony or a bad testimony? Am I a good witness or a bad witness? Okay, lawyers know good witnesses and bad witnesses. Good witnesses are those who people will believe. They can tell the story well. They have all their facts in order. They've got a believable story. They're a believable person. Somebody hears what they have to say and say, yeah, I believe them. A bad witness is somebody who people say, I don't believe a thing that person says. That's why on cross-examination, the other side will attempt to show that that person's not a credible witness. So if I'm going to say, God loves you, but I don't love you, that's not a very credible witness of God's love. I have to exhibit that love too. If I'm going to be a good witness, I need to tell the story well. So we're going to look today at Matthew chapter 23. We're going to read what Jesus has to say here, and then we're going to put it in that framework of stewardship and our witness. So, Matthew chapter 23. Starting with the first verse, and it reads, Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say to anyone, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say it means nothing if anyone swears by the gift on it. He is bound. If anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by the heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, who look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, the outside of you appears people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if you have lived the day of your forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves, and you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in the synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth. For the blood of the righteous, Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Bezekiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just ask that you would indeed reveal your word to us this morning. Lord, that as we come to hear your word, that you would show us what part of it is that you would have us to grab hold of today. Lord, reveal to us yourself anew and fresh. Maybe it's reminding us of something. Maybe it's something brand new. But Lord, Might we meet with you and know you more this day. Lord, I pray for myself that as I come to preach, that your anointing would be upon me, that I wouldn't be lifting myself up, but I would lift up only Christ. Now, Father, let you be the one lifted up and glorified. May your Son Jesus be the name by which we pray. For we do pray this all in his name. Amen. Now, Jesus gives us two commands. Here in the very beginning, he tells us to obey these Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he tells us to do not do what they do. Okay, are we not getting this slideshow? Or okay. okay. We want to obey them and do not do what they do. So we're a couple slides in. These people who've been put in position of authority in this place, God has placed them there. Whether they're doing well or not, we're still told to obey them. We may not like that, but yet they are the people placed in that authority. So it's up to us to obey. But we're also told not to do as they do. So this is very much a do as they say, not as they do. Maybe as a child, you heard the words from your own parents say, do as I say, not as I do. Or at least saw that example. My parents told me not to smoke, but they smoked. Now, I could have fallen into the habit of smoking, but I didn't because, you know, my parents smoked, my grandparents smoked, my aunts smoked, and I found nothing more disgusting than being around cigarette smoke, and so I wanted nothing to do with it. So I didn't smoke. But yet I know many, many, many people who saw somebody else smoking, and they just said, hey, you know, I got to do that too. If we don't want somebody to do an action, we shouldn't ought to be doing it ourselves. But Jesus is telling us here, we can't use that as an excuse for ourselves. He says, you have to do what they say, but don't do what they're doing. Because they're wrong. When they're giving you the correct direction, okay. But when they go and do wrong themselves, don't follow them. And he lays out these seven woes. Seven of them. Verse 13, 15, 16, 23, 25, 27, and 29. Each one of these different woes. They all have to do with the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. They're all tied up in that. You say, hold it. But didn't verse 15, that one didn't say, woe to you hypocrites. Verse 16, it said, woe to you blind guides. What was the issue there? It was hypocrisy. You know, if anyone swears by the temple, you know, that doesn't count. But if we swear by the gold in the temple, you know. What they did is they said, it's all in the wording. If you don't say, oh, so my oath doesn't count if I can make it tricky. That's not real. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And our oath is supposed to mean something. If I swear, that means I'm bound by it. Not say, oh, see, that oath doesn't count because, yeah, I had my fingers crossed. Do that as a little kid. How many here used to do that kind of thing as a little child? Cross my fingers, doesn't count. That's what they're doing. Find a loophole in it. Well, yeah, I said I'd do the dishes today, but, you know, it's still today in the Philippines. No, No, if I said I'm going to do something, I need to do it. In each one of these woes, okay, the first one, they were preventing people from becoming followers of the faith. They were standing, blocking people from getting in. They're trying to be, they're becoming, obstructing people from coming to know God as opposed to helping them. Their task was to help people to come to know God. These are woes that are put out. They had all these problems they're doing. When somebody did come to know God, they would then corrupt them, so they became a child of hell. Small details, tithing of their dill and their mint. So they would go to the herb garden, and if they clipped 10 leaves, they would take one of those leaves and say, that leaf goes to the temple. However, the order of mercy and justice, they would turn a blind eye. They're like the guys walking down the road, and there's the injured person there. Oh, I don't see him. If I don't see him, la, 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 you know. I can't help him because I'm on the way to do something important. They ignored those big things. They did those many details. But anything that was truly inconvenient or truly difficult, they were too busy for or too important to do. They were told woe about the fact that they made themselves look good the outside, but the inside was full of greed and was vile, lying. And they were, sixth woe was how they were like tombs that are whitewashed to look pretty, but yet his inside is full of everything which is unclean, death itself. Rotting flesh, jeez, you know, just nasty. But we put a nice little whitewash over the front. This is the last woe of his seven was that they seek to distance themselves from guilt. Other leaders, had killed the prophets. Some of the prophets had been put in prison. Some had been killed. Why? Because the people didn't like what they had to say. It was inconvenient. It didn't go with the plans. So they said, you know, well, if we'd been there, we never would have done such a thing. They didn't, even though these are our ancestors, they didn't say, oh, God, we are so sorry that our ancestors did that. Instead, they tried to say, oh, no, I wouldn't have anything to do with that. No. We need to own up to our own part. You see, they took all those things and they put it away. Now, Jesus was able to use these examples because the people had witnessed them and understood them to be true. When Jesus said that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are like this, the people said, they're all nodding their head. Why? Because they'd seen these things. They'd witnessed them themselves. Jesus wasn't shining a light on something that they'd never seen before. Jesus was just talking about something that everybody knew, but you didn't talk about. Everybody knew it happened, but you didn't talk about it. At least not in front of everybody else. Kind of off to the side, maybe. But certainly, No, they're the holy ones. Yeah, well, yeah, they don't do that. But, you know, they're better. No, they're not. Jesus says that was the problem. Is they weren't better. They were saying one thing but not doing what they preach. Verse 3, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. That is the basics of the problem. They were hypocrites. know what makes a bad witness? A hypocrite? A liar? That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is a liar. You say one thing and you do another. See, they're hypocritical because for each one of those things, they said that they were doing them, but they weren't. Hypocrisy only fools people for a short time. Eventually, it shows through. If I don't live my Christian faith, is anybody really going to believe that I'm a Christian? You see, by obeying, we follow Christ. By not emulating bad leaders, we are following. By matching our words and deeds, our public and private, what is seen and unseen, our witness for Christ is seen as strong and true. This is real stewardship. This is a witness that people will see as credible. If we want a credible witness, we need to live what we preach. If I say I'm a Christian, I need to love you. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Love. I titled this message, Stewardship and Our Witness. How is this stewardship? It is stewardship because what God has given us is our lives. And if we don't live it right, it's a bad witness. But if we live it well, it is a good witness. The witness of those whom Jesus confronts in this passage is bad. And Jesus commands us literally, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. People, to be good stewards, we need to practice what we preach. And that will give us a good witness. That's how these two combine. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you indeed were a true witness. You loved us so much that you went to the cross and died and then were resurrected. Lord, you showed us the depth of your love for us. And you showed us the reality of your promise of eternal life through the resurrection. You are a good witness. Lord, might we too be a good witness. Lord, might we be good stewards of the witness that you give us. Might we indeed practice what we preach as you have commanded us, Lord. Might we not succumb to hypocrisy. But might we submit ourselves fully to your will in all things and lift you up and not ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.